So this is a conservation areas acquisition plan 2014 update on 8 January 2014.
And your commissioner Miller, so we're going to get started.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don Benton, Director of Department of Environmental Services. I'm coming to you.
Push the button now.
Let's see.
There you go.
How's that? There we go. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Don Benton, Director of the Department of Environmental Services. And I have with me my two terrific members of my staff, Pat Lee, who manages our legacy lands program, and the director of our resource planning division in our clean water department, Ron Waringa, will also be giving comments to the commission today in the work session. The update today is a jointly funded effort between the County Land Trust and Environmental Services. And with me today are representing the County Land Trust, Glenn Lamb, Dan Roy, and Bill Diner. And I think you gentlemen know at least Glenn and Bill, and maybe you know Dan too. If you don't, you now know them. And they'll each be participating today in this presentation. Glenn is one of the founding members of the County Land Trust and has served as its executive director for many years. Glenn, thank you for being here today. Dan is the Land Trust Portland Vancouver Region Conservation Manager. And Dan accompanied me and took me on a great tour of some of these legacy lands a few weeks ago. It was excellent. I want to recommend it to any one of you if you'd like to join us on one of these trips someday. We'd love to. I think Glenn and Dan would love to set that up for the commissioners. Dan also played a major role in coordinating the preparation of the Inter-Wines Regional Conservation Strategy. Bill Diger was a primary author of the 2004 Conservation Areas Acquisition Plan, which is the framework and skeletal work for what you will see here today. He's been involved in conservation successes in Clark County in a variety of different capacities since inception of the Conservation Futures Legacy Lands Program. What you're seeing now in slide two, we hope to accomplish today, the quick overview. We will present to you an overview of the plan update. We'll respond to any questions that you may have and receive direction from the board on conservation priorities outlined in the update and other elements of the plan that are of interest to the board. We hope certainly to incorporate any revisions that you may want into the document and return to the board for adoption of the plan in early March. That is our plan, that is our schedule. That enables us to submit grant applications to the State Recreation Conservation Office during the 2014 grant cycle. It's one of the requirements of the State Recreation Conservation Office that we have an updated plan in order to be eligible for grants. And I can't tell you how important those grants are to us in our acquisition of these critical habitat areas. Before turning to Ron and Pat, who will lead the presentation on my staff, I want to emphasize that this is largely a technical update of the 2004 plan. The vision of a countywide system of parks, natural areas, and open space connected by a system of trails and greenways is the same as it was in that original plan. The high-value conservation lands analysis uses up-to-date geographic systems information, but largely validates the boundaries identified in the 2004 plan. As with the 2004 plan, the project opportunities were collaboratively identified with cities and towns in the county and other important conservation partners. A new element of the new plan, a new element of the plan today, Appendix D of the plan, reviews over 30 potential funding sources that could be used by Clark County and its partners to implement the conservation projects. And with that, I'll turn the microphone over now to the manager of the Legacy Lands Program, Pat Lee. Pat.
Thank you, Don. Commissioners, good morning. So I think, as I said, we're going to give you a very brief overview of the plan. And the first question that we want to respond to is, why are we updating the plan? And really, the primary reason to update the plan is because of the Resource Conservation Office requirements for grant eligibility. They require an update every 6 years, and we were kind of at the end of that prior term. Would certainly like to be able to at least develop some projects that we may be able to submit during this year. And it's important if we can get something in this year because they only accept grant applications every 2 years, a fairly recent change to their procedures. The update also gives us the opportunity to engage partners in the program at the beginning of the six-year planning horizon. So they are on the ground floor development of potential priorities and can work collaboratively or independently in following through on priorities that are important to the county and to them as individual organizations. And certainly from a staff perspective, it helps us prioritize program work activities and also helps us plan for the use of the Conservation Futures Fund. Well, anyway, let me add a little bit. As Don mentioned, it's a joint effort between the Columbia Land Trust and Clark County. We engaged more than 25 conservation funding and partner agencies in developing the plan. Some of those entities included certainly the Land Trust, who was working arm-in-arm with us, included state departments of fish and wildlife, natural resources, and also involved cities and towns, Clark Public Utilities, just a variety of organizations that have been historic partners with us that helped us create the legacy land systems that we have at this time. So, So the plan identifies, it's a sort of a countywide plan, identifies countywide plans, opportunities. It can be used by the counties and partners individually or collectively to put forth conservation projects. It provides an important planning context that is helpful when approaching potential funding entities. And I think an important design element of the plan is to provide mapping tools and technical tools that can be used by others. And I am going to have Glenn speak a little bit about how he sees the importance of the plan. And then after Glenn, I think we're going to turn it over to Dan to talk a little bit about how we developed the GIS analysis and the project opportunities analysis.
Thank you, Pat. I just, at its highest level, what I think of this plan, I go back to realizing that we live in one of the most amazing places in the world. I'm right here in Clark County. I mean, the tree-growing ground that we have, the farmland that we have, these hard-charging rivers coming right out of the Cascades, the history of hunting and fishing and bird watching, enjoying the natural areas here. We are right along the Pacific Flyway, and just 20 minutes from here, we could go down today and have the most incredible sight of sandhill cranes, which, if you haven't seen, it's absolutely stunning watching them down in the lowlands. And we know, in part because this is such an amazing place, and many of us around the room, maybe we've chosen to live here because we know it's such an amazing place. We know our population is going to grow, and we welcome people to come join us here in this amazing place. But we also want to be prepared to make sure that the things that make this community so great and its natural assets are going to be kept intact as well. So the county, in partnership with the Land Trust and many and all the cities and towns, and this is the kind of effort that, I mean, we work very closely with each of the cities and towns in pulling this together, that identify ways that we can set aside and preserve those places that make this such a great place. to live. And this plan itself is the very backbone of those efforts. This is the way that we all come together and agree on, all right, here's where we're going to throw all of our efforts. So the nonprofits are working with the government agencies to make sure that we're doing this together and combined. And if you want to think about sort of looking back, it's places like Frenchman's Bar, and Don and I had a chance to go out to a place called Camp Curry, which you may have never even been to, which along Lacamas Lake that's set aside and a nonprofit group runs Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and church groups on overnight camps right along Lacamas Lake. The Washougal River, the East Fork Lewis River, Lucia Falls, the Salmon Creek Greenway, since you probably walked along that trail there. These are all the kinds of places that have been set aside in the past as a result of this kind of plan that allows us to then go up to the state. So I'm just really pleased that this is coming forth, and in some ways this is business as usual, as Don was alluding to, that this is a to keep us eligible for these grants, and we just really strongly endorse moving forward.
Thank you.
And
Dan,
I think you wanted to add something. Background. Dan coordinated a lot of the GIS analysis for us with a consultant that gave us a very good price. And so,
this is free.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, so I'll just walk through. I'm not going to get into too much detail here. But as Pat mentioned, part of creating the plan documents was we went through GIS analysis to identify high value conservation lands within the county. Like the 2004 plan, we based this analysis on the system of rivers and streams throughout the county. That's kind of the backbone of the network of natural areas and important places in the county. And we divided the county up into 19 sub-areas. You'll see one of them on the kind of poorly displayed map up there to make manageable geographic areas where we can do this analysis and also think about project opportunities. We used salmon data. There's a lot of great data on salmon and steelhead, and based on recovery efforts that are going on throughout the state. So we were able to utilize that data. We utilized federal floodplain data, county and federal wetlands maps, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, priority habitat and species data, along with data sources that were created as part of the 2004 process. And what we're doing is using those data sources to figure out areas that had multiple benefits for both wildlife habitat and recreation and open space, and trying to find the places that are the highest value conservation areas. In addition, we looked at parcel data so that we could understand where there are unique properties that largely fall within floodplains and wetlands and some of those other important habitat features, and exclude properties where there's, where there's already a lot of developments happening on the property. We also integrated existing public lands with a focus on Clark County's legacy lands to highlight opportunities for expansion, for connectivity and linkages within the system, and really making sure that we're leveraging work that was done in the past. And then we also looked at regional trails, the county's regional trails and bikeway system plan, and Intertwined Alliance's regional conservation strategy. So the GIS analysis and mapping products provide really useful tools both at this stage, and they will provide useful tools into the future. But as far as actually identifying project opportunities, we need to go beyond that. And what we did was we met with all of the cities throughout the county, and we met with Pat List and a lot of other people we talked with to take this information, combine it with on-the-ground information, and all while folding in the work that was done in 2004 to develop specific project opportunities. And those project opportunities are included in an appendix, Appendix B of the plan. And it's worth noting that I mentioned that the GIS analysis, the high value lands, are largely based on the system of rivers and streams. There are some unique upland sites that are included as well, where there's some specific habitat and recreational opportunities. So. Okay.
Thanks, Dan. I'm going to go back, hopefully without ruining anything, and touch on a slide that of the portion of the slide from before. As Pat had said, we need to update this plan, and the plan is a framework that's provided by the Recreation and Conservation Office in order to make it eligible. One of those elements as we go through here, and the plan is structured this way, is the bullet near the last one, which is a six-year capital improvement program. So as I hope you're getting a feel for, as others have stated, you know, we did a quantitative analysis with data to identify portions of the county that were high-value conservation areas. Within those areas, there are thousands and thousands of parcels. And as Dan had pointed out, we went through another more qualitative analysis with some GIS work to identify potential parcels that would be opportunities for looking at for conservation. What we did to satisfy the requirement for the six-year capital improvement program was put together in the plan a list of priority projects. These were projects that we've had landowners contact us that we know have high conservation value, that are already in the pipeline, and we've initiated some work, and we know that over the next 6 years are executable. Which takes us to the portion in just discussing that list in particular, and I think brings it down a little bit for us, is are these projects that we've identified in the plan binding on us or any of the partners that that are listed as their main sponsors? And the reality is that no, we're required to provide this list and cost estimates and a rough schedule in the plan as required by the framework. But these lists it's a dynamic business. We only, this is a willing seller program. We work with folks to come to an agreement on what properties to acquire, and the timing of that changes quite a bit. It's a focus for us. Those are priorities we're going to go after, but there are also multiple points throughout the process where for the use of conservation futures dollars and the county's involvement, the board needs to provide authorization. Those are submittal of grant applications, grant agreements, any professional services contracts for things like appraisals, any interlocal agreements with other cities and towns in the county, and sponsor or partner projects, execution of purchase and sale agreements, acceptance of deeds, all of those for these projects that are listed in this priority list. We will be back talking to you about the projects and getting authorization to move forward. And again, project implementation is influenced by several variables that aren't entirely within our control. So we can lay projects out in a six-year plan, but for the most part, again, it's a willing seller program. We have to come to an agreement on price. There are partnership, there are leveraging opportunities, there are grant requirements, which makes it a fairly fluid business. And other opportunities will arise in the next 6 years. And this having this priority list put together doesn't preclude any new opportunities that come up if they, are in priority areas and we have a good reason to insert them or infuse them into the list, then we totally have the opportunity to do that. Nearing the end, we wanted to mention, particularly for our Conservation Futures Fund, which the county manages, and our use of the fund, we currently have a balance in the fund of about $4 million. We annually collect about $2.3 million through the Conservation Futures Levy. Our funding priorities are debt service from previous bonds that we have to pay over, through 2025 time frame or a little beyond. And so making sure we have the funding available for debt service is our priority. Taking the allocation of 15% of the annual levy for management and stewardship of our existing properties is another priority, and then that leaves what's left in terms of funding for new acquisitions. I think with the fund balance we have and the funding that we can expect, particularly if we leverage the Conservation Futures Fund against grants, we can do quite a bit of work over the next year, 6 years, and fund the majority of the plan.
I've got a question for you. About how much debt is there, and about what interest rate are we paying?
How much debt is left?
The debt service currently is about 52% of our revenue. In fact, here's a chart that shows that. That will climb. We project it
in this plan that that will climb over the next couple of years to a maximum of about 66. But you'll see that in the, I think the 17, 18, that it drops way back down because some of the early bonds from the very beginning of the program will be paid off. And so the debt service will then recede significantly, I think, in 2017. But currently it's 52, it will grow up to about 66 over the next 2 years, and then drops significantly down back to around 50.
Do we know about what the interest rate is on that debt service?
Well, several, I don't know specifically, but some of our bonds.
Probably 4.5%.
About 4.5% on most of them. That's an average, because they're bonds, and many of them weren't all at once. So some were a little lower, some were a little higher, but an average of about 4.5 or so.
So I think you're probably going with that is that we've refinanced a lot of things and experienced a huge savings. Was this one looked at, or are we looking at this for the possibility of a refinance to have a savings so we could better utilize that money?
We wouldn't refinance it, but we could maybe fill in those troughs that one is projecting. And take into account this cash flow, there's some legislation that I think they have introduced to move the stewardship maintenance up to 3%, so we have to take that into account.
Mm-hmm. That'd be something that would be nice down the road to. In the near future, to see if we can take advantage of something like that.
When I took a look at that, but we'll look at it further, Commissioner. I appreciate that interest. The most expensive bonds are the oldest, and those will be retiring, as I mentioned, in 2016-2017. So the benefit of refinancing those for a two-year period is pretty insignificant. So the most expensive ones will be paid off. But we'll take a look at that. If there's an opportunity to save money, you bet we'll talk to the treasurer's office about that, and we'll move forward.
If the interest rate is highest on those oldest bonds, is there a possibility that we just simply pay them off early and be done with it?
That's a potential, and that's another thing that we can take a look at and get back to
you. It'd be good to see a breakdown of each of the individual debts, see what interest rate and what the balance would be.
I'll ferret that out for you.
Where's that pie? Yeah, where's the pie chart? It was. Any other questions?
No, I just wondered. So are we maxed as far as the management and stewardship, and 15% coverage?
It's close. We budget for it, but I think probably 2012 we got pretty close to the maximum. This year we'll probably be a little bit below it. I think we're kind of at the point where we've done enough acquisitions, we have enough land in our system that the fund is still responsible for maintenance, that we're getting up near that. And so looking out in the future, and I think these guys from the Land Trust tell you how important having stewardship funding is available before they even go into an acquisition, we'll be getting near that point where that may not cover. But right now we're doing all right. So that was our overview of the plan. At this point, we're open to discussion and more questions.
Let me just, Veronica, just jump in and make one statement. That I want to make sure the questions understand. What you're looking at in this plan is a reflection of a number of different groups and work over a year's time. Cost approximately about $100,000, and I want to make sure that you understand that our partner, Columbia Land Trust, has paid for half, about $50,000. So they are truly a partner. They're not just at the table to have input. They're our partner in every way. There's the work that they've put into this, their hours plus cold hard cash. I mean, there's a lot of data and research that went into this. And so it was a very significant investment to bring this plan up to date with current information and current data. So I want to just, thank our partner for their willingness to be at the table in not just input, but with resources and staff time and all the effort that you put in to help us bring this plan up to speed. We greatly appreciate your help on this.
Thank you.
We'll be happy to entertain any questions with the
One of the things that I've been turning mind, I may be completely off base here, but I'm in my appearance, I think we could do a better job in tying our conservation futures property with our trails plan. It seems like sometimes we go out and we put trails in one place and conservation futures the other. And the other thing is that I think we need to do a better job of providing access to those areas where we can. It's an educational type thing, and people are able to go there and relate to it. I look forward to seeing these paths that with these little educational signs along the way tell me, hey, you're on the right track, and then over here is poison ivy, you know. It's a personal concept, and my wish is that it would come together, and if we focus that way, it would come together sooner rather than 50 years from now, all of a sudden we got our plan all put together. I'd like to see it together now so we can use it now.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, there's one really exciting example of, I think, an opportunity that we have in that area that hasn't been in the limelight for a little while, but I think is worth mentioning as an example of the kind of thing that we could work toward. And that is Lewisville Park to Daybreak Park. You know, both are very, you know, actively used county parks. Lewisville, some would argue, is the centerpiece of the whole county park system. Well, the Landerholm, Landsberg and Elmer families owned a piece of property on the north side of the Lewis River that essentially connects, if you, their land is, you know, one ownership that goes all the way from Lewisville to Daybreak. And about a decade ago, those three families approached us and said, essentially, Commissioner, what you just said, we'd really like to see the people of this county be able to make connections and have access. And so they approached the county and said, we'd like to sell a sliver of land that goes along the Lewis River from Lewisville Park to Daybreak, which, you know, through this type of program, that's what the county did. Well, this family was so enthusiastic about that idea that they turned around and donated, I think it was $500,000. Was it $400,000 back. It's now in a fund that's being managed at the Community Foundation for the purposes of those funds to be used to help stimulate the development of a trail that would connect those two parks. So that trail doesn't exist today. Those signs aren't out there, but this system is put in place to try to get us there. And I would suggest that, you know, maybe something that in our working together with the Parks Department, you know, newly here in the county and with our moving forward, that that's an area that we could, in the coming years, I don't mean to say it's going to happen overnight, but there's some privately donated money that's already available to help the county do something like this. And this plan, there's a, the challenge is that their land didn't get us all the way. There's a couple of more properties that, but that's very small compared to the distance that the Landerholm family did. So this fund would help us to fill in those gaps and then maybe move in that
way. And that's what we're going to, I picture larger green spaces, more functional.
Yeah.
And then we tie our parks together with our trails, with the repairing areas, and parking. We seem to lack parking for people to use that. And I think it's a great plan, and I think that we need to bring more of it together today to bring more enthusiasm of support.
Yeah, thank you.
To do that.
And you covered the point pretty well. I just wanted to ask the question, though, how well does this plan incorporate the integration of our parks and trails, the open spaces, the stormwater, all of that? How well integrated is that? Is there still room that we ought to be able to move, or are we, are those spaces integrated nicely already?
I would say that the plan is an enabling document. And I believe those opportunities, a matter of putting a priority, and probably best if it's more site-specific, such as the River Ranch example for Glen just to
make sure we can do it on the ground. But I think, our legacy lands have been used for a number of purposes, from capital road project litigation to eventually becoming a regional park. So I think it is enabling, and it's a matter of putting the energy behind the short list of projects to move forward on those as a priority.
It would be good when we have these kind of meetings, we talk about this whole program, and it would be reassuring if we had somebody here in the Public Works Department, because they build trails, they build parks, they are involved in the prioritization, and that would be good to make sure that they're tuned in, they're back in the communication effort, or is bridged.
And obviously there are grant requirements that we have, depending on what the type of, what the color of green is that you go and you see from the state as to the requirements for the properties themselves and what you can and can't do with them. But kind of just to your point, I think there is more that we can continue to do. One of the things about the original plan development is that work groups were set by function area, right? They were set by, critical habitat and greenways and farmland. And they had very specific ideas of what they were seeking to preserve, and they weren't looking at the interrelated nature of the property and how it might be, how we could actually tie it all together as much. And so, when the original plan was being developed, it seemed a little more bunkered in what we were seeking to preserve. And I think we now have a sense of what we can do, like the combination of things that we can do better. And I think we have done much better at producing properties that actually have multiple benefits and really prioritizing those, but I don't know that the plan has been updated to reflect that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think it has. And even back in 2004, when the original conservation plan was put together, there were these three groups that we worked with. There was an 18-member technical advisory committee, strongly community-based, wide range of interests. But to support the work, there were three technical work groups. One was farm, one was habitat, and one was greenways and trails. So those interests were clearly embedded in the plan. And as we went through this, what happened was, kind of along the lines of what you're talking about, the recreation, trail, and habitat interest merged together and said, if we establish this core vision that acquires this system of greenways and habitat and recreation lands along our rivers, lakes, and streams, then we have this combined interest that gets pulled together into that system. So like on the East Fork of the Lewis River, for example, you'll have Lewisville Park, Daybreak Park, and the Lower East Fork Lewis Greenway, which is highly habitat-oriented, all in a functioning system. And that's what the 2004 plan established. It's carried forward into the 2014 plan. So I think you'll see that having happened in this planning document. Moreover, specifically, for example, on trails, there is the Consolidated Parks Department put a regional trail and bikeway systems plan together, and that was a core document that we looked at in putting this update together. We worked with every town and city in getting their park and recreation comprehensive plans out on the table and say, how can the work that the county's doing dovetail with the work that you're doing? So all of that happened as part of this process.
Bill, 100 times more about this than all of us in this room, except for maybe George. It's putting it on the front page, man. It's actually having that prioritization of shared, of combined use on the front page of what we're doing. And it's not. It's not as part of the Conservation Acquisition Plan, Areas Acquisition Plan. It's not on the front page of, we're looking for these, for where 1 and 1 equals 6, and looking for those prioritizations. And so my pushback is just that for the people who don't know the plan, that are new to it, or that maybe, just constituents wondering what do we care about in this, it would be really good from my perspective to really call it out. Because, we've heard it from the board that it's a priority, and I certainly agree with that.
Well, it's there, and maybe it's just not highlighted or brought out to the public enough. The whole concept of this planning document is this aggregation of values,
right?
Recreation values, habitat values, clean water values, public works values. It's all of this stuff that gets pulled together into this core vision, which the 2004 plan established and has brought forward now. So I'd be happy to come back and talk to you about this as many times as you'd like, and we can fill this room up with people and they can listen to how this gets put together. But it's an essential key part of the plan, and it's embedded in the list of projects that the county's working on. And one last comment. The 2004 plan was great for two reasons. It gave us direction and it was a working document. And then when we look back over our shoulders, it affirmed all the work that we've done with Conservation Futures. And I hope that this document is a working document and that we can implement projects that support the plan.
And as you come along the way, as we bring it back together now, we understand why we went out through the things early on with grappling with preparing areas that were vital and critical. And now bringing it together is going to bring the more use, the more awareness, the more education, and more support, and more partners.
Yeah, and
just I'm going to add to that. I mean, everyone's pointing, and lastly, Commissioner Stewart, this is what we have in front of you is a draft. We can absolutely, as Bill and Dan have pointed out as well, we pulled those multiple components in or part of the analysis. It sounds like we need to spend some time sort of looking at the beginning of the plan, drawing that out up front, clearly stating that in everything that you said, and we have the opportunity to do that. We're asking, as Don had said up front, to, you know, based on your input and your comments and questions, address the draft, finalize it, and bring it to you. So we have every opportunity to draw that stuff out, and we will.
Because it is and should be a working document. It has to be. I mean, you talked about it as far as being able to actually, you know, go get money. You know, that is one of the major benefits of having this acquisition plan. But for us as policymakers, we're trying to draw it back and go big picture, kind of what Glenn was talking about originally, and take it beyond a working document to a vision of why we're doing it and what we're doing. You know, and I mean the Open Space Commission report, the 92 report, that was more bigger picture. I mean, that was visionary. You know, and this was visionary, but in a different way. The Conservation Areas Acquisition Plan set in motion all of the things, all the great things that you talked about. It's just for us, we got to draw it back and be able to share the vision of what we're trying to accomplish.
This is if I were to point to maybe four milestones: Conservation Futures, the Open Space Commission report, the 2004 plan, and then this document. And they're part of a continuum.
Okay.
Yeah. I would make one more point. The land, this conservation lands system that's being put together, this is another area where we fail to tell you how many different groups have partnered up with the county. Everybody from the Cowlitz Tribe to the towns and cities, the Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board, the Lower Columbia Fish Enhancement Group, there are, I can't even begin to tell you how many enhancement, restoration, and development projects that have occurred because the county has stepped forward in putting this system together. It's remarkable. We should tell you that story too someday.
Seriously. Sure. As I look through the list here, I see acquire. Which is good. We make sure it's set aside, it's preserved for the future. But I want to make sure that we also look at the big picture and say, what can we connect? We have so many volunteers, so many people care about this, that to be able to have that trail system integrated, tied in, high profiles that are an important part of this to make sure that we really cover those bases.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I give you an example. This is a simple one. Glenn raised the issue of the highlighted the project out on the East Fork, but something like the trail that connects Frenchman's Bar Regional Park to Vancouver Lake Regional Park.
Beautiful.
And that was one of the kind of collaborations that you're talking about, where the acquisition of the trail corridor on the north side of the Flushing Channel was used as the matching source to get the money to develop the trail system that connects the two regional parks. That's the kind of stuff that happens. And we don't say it enough, but right. We're out there doing that work every day and trying to put those things together.
I would love to be able to see you've got pages of different categories here. So maybe here's the trails.
That's a good point. I think it brings us back also to another point that was made previously with the amount of money that we can use from Conservation Futures and those types of projects. We have, outside of acquisition, we can use 15% of the levy. And so a lot of the connecting pieces and what Pat and I are working on with the pieces that we already have, looking at parking, looking at signs, looking at, you know, more trail development, I think if we can work on that 15% cap, that helps us a bit to at least have the flexibility to use the county's funding to leverage other grants and opportunities to start connecting these pieces. That's a huge priority for us.
The 15, did it used to be 10? Do you guys remember? Has it gone up once already?
No, I think it was started.
I know there's been conversation almost seems like every legislative
session. There have been several runs here, but it started at 15, still being, and the county is working hard to move that up a bit.
No pressure.
I think all of us agree that that's an extremely important component to the success.
Whether it be roads or greenways, man, maintenance and operation of the system becomes an increasing, you know, percentage of the budget. So you know, we got to match it.
Well, for counties like ours who have done such a phenomenal job at using conservation features to protect critical areas, it eventually becomes a self-limiting imposition because I could not ask the commissioners to purchase a piece of land knowing that I wouldn't have enough money in my budget to maintain it and take care of it. And so at some point, you just won't buy any more land, and that's not appropriate either. We want to continue to preserve these critical areas, so we need to be able to have that flexibility and adjustment. That's what we're going to try to achieve as Commissioner Rumpke knows the legislature is a quirky place, so we're going to give it our best effort and see if we can get that done. We'll certainly be relying on the help and support from many of these groups to come forward and testify in support of that. But just in wrapping up today, I want to make sure that we captured your comments. We will strive, before we come before you for final approval, to integrate our trails and our parks and have a section in here that will help prioritize and make clear that we are prioritizing integration of these efforts. With better access, we know that we have a lot of wonderful lands already on the books that, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, that we don't have proper access to or adequate parking. One not far from our operations center that I visited here not long ago, Loretta Levine, I talked to Commissioner Medora about that. There's very little parking. In fact, neighbors are complaining because people are parking in their private driveways there. So we realize that we need to work on better access and better parking for some of our already existing pieces. We will include public works in our plan, and we will research the outstanding nature of our bonds and our indebtedness to see if there's an opportunity for savings in those areas.
Well, one more item I want to bring up. You've done a great job in purchasing. In some cases, we've purchased a larger amount of land in order to acquire a riparian area or a sensitive area. And to finish the job, those portions of that land that not used as a riparian area needs to be put back on the tax roll, and that money be put back in buying more recurring and sensitive areas. When we went back and we started talking about excess properties, that was part of what we were talking about, because we had been buying up some farms in some cases, and in the hustle and the bustle, we then go back to refine it, and as we had to go forward, that we continued to refine that and reinsert those dollars back into the riparian areas and put the other usable taxable land back on the tax rolls for the county.
That's an excellent point. We will take a look at our existing pieces going forward. Maybe it's not part of this plan, but certainly as our existing pieces as we move forward, if we bought 35 acres and five of them really isn't necessary for habitat area, that should be split off and put back on the tax rolls to maximize revenue so that we can invest in more critical habitat going forward.
Very good. Anything else?
Good. Very good.
Anything else? Great job. We're talking about large areas. We're even talking about schools. We didn't mention that here. School land, fields, type of park, riparian areas, trails. Big green spaces that really work. That being said, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.